if you weren't here the last couple of weeks, here's what we went through. We said the Word of God is very powerful. Do you agree with that? Okay. Do you believe that the Word of God has all the answers that you need? Yes? Okay, there may be some here today that would say, I don't know. I don't want to say no in church to you, but I don't know. And that's okay. That's an okay place to be. Because at least you're asking the question, is the Word of God really truth and is it really powerful? And so we talked last week about two things that the Word of God is or does, two things that we can expect. One of those was knowing that we can expect from the Word of God that it's going to give us renewed life. And not only is it going to give us renewed life, but it's going to reveal truth. Those are the first two things that the Word of God is going to do. In the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar, I said last week, was a king who had a dream. Have you ever had a dream where when you woke up, you went, that was kind of weird. Was that something God was speaking to me? You ever have one of those dreams? Or you're wondering, is there something more to this? Was it a spiritual thing or not? Well, King Nebuchadnezzar had one of these dreams. And so he called all of his staff before him and said, hey, I had a dream. I want you to interpret it for me. And they said, well, what was the dream? And he said, no, I'm not going to tell you what the dream was. Because if I tell you what the dream was, you're just going to tell me what you think I want to hear. I want you to tell me the dream that I had, and then I want you to tell me the interpretation. And they couldn't do it. But there's a man named Daniel who could. Daniel, who was a man of God. And he came and not only told King Nebuchadnezzar what the dream was, but told him what the interpretation was. What's the point? King Nebuchadnezzar wasn't satisfied with just having his ears tickled. He wanted the truth. And that's what the Word of God reveals in our life. It reveals to us what truth is really all about. So let's jump right back into it. Number three, here's what the Word of God, what else it does. Number three, write down that it illuminates my path. The Word of God will illuminate your path. Here's my challenge to you, church, as we go through this week. I got to be honest here. I'm like, Lord, are we sticking around in this Word of God for a while or moving on? But I'll tell you, I haven't heard back from him yet. Sent him an email yesterday, and so I have to check today. But I want to give you this challenge. Get into the Word of God. Don't just like, okay, I got to read my Bible. This book right here, for years, it was black and white ink and some red. And that's all it was. It was just a book that told some stories that I had to learn about, and Daniel and the lion's den, and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you know. But it never became real to me until I just took some time in my day and I said, Lord, I'm gonna do my devos. I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna read, and I'm just gonna write. I'm not gonna take a long time, 30 minutes out of my day, and I want to give you the same challenge. You can do the life journal plan, you can do the Our Daily Bread, you can just start in Matthew or Mark or Luke or John. Start anywhere you want in the Bible. I would avoid Leviticus, you know, for starters. It gets a little dry, very dry. But I challenge you to come on this journey with me, because I'll tell you what happened even to me personally, recently. I mean, I guess both personally and recently. I have a rhythm of just spending time in the Word of God, reading the Bible. Now, I know some people think, well, aren't you supposed to do that every day? You're a pastor. No, you're supposed to do it every day because you're a son and daughter of the Most High God. It has nothing to do with my title. But I'm human just like you, and I don't do it every day. And we were relaxing and chilling, and I got busy. And you ever get too busy for God sometimes? It's okay. It's all right. He knows that, so you don't need to lie about it. And I got a little too busy. And all of a sudden, it seems like kind of like the train went off the tracks, so to speak. You know what I mean? Have you ever been in a rhythm with something? Maybe it's your spouse or even your devotions with God, or it's with your children. And all of a sudden, something happens, and the rhythm just changes. It just changes, and you don't know why. Well, I was going through, and I'm like, God, I don't feel like I'm hearing you like I heard you before, and I feel like I'm slipping. I slipped two notches back or something, and I didn't do that on purpose. I didn't do it intentional. What changed? And he said one word: you. I said me. He was talking, and I said me. What did I do? And it's not that I did anything except I got out of the rhythm of spending time at the feet of Jesus. It was as simple as that. Have you ever been in a rhythm of just spending time with God, and then when you get out of the rhythm, you notice it, don't you? You notice all of a sudden, because insecurity starts to come in, worry starts to build, fear starts to increase. Many people come to me and they say, Pastor, I'm worried. I'm scared. I'm afraid. And many times I say, do you spend time in the Word of God? Well, why would I do that? I'm too busy worrying about everything else. Because This is where you find your peace. This is where you find your answers. And this is where you'll find that the Word of God will illuminate your path. It will illuminate your path. How many of you have got a mag light at your house? Yeah, mag lights. They're pretty well known for being heavy duty and they last a long time. And they got a beam that you can shine into the sky and you look like you got the biggest lightsaber in the world, right? Come on, tell the truth. Some of you had lightsaber wars with those mag lights, right? Or you see a plane in the sky and you try to shine your light on it or something like that. Strong, powerful lights. I've seen one of those lights that you can plug into the cigarette lighter of your car. And it's like big and round and it's like 5,000 or 5 million lumens light or whatever. You know, you hit that and people go blind for 10 minutes. You know, one of those kind of lights. That's the kind of light that we think the Word of God is going to illuminate. But many times, it's more like a candle. Think about it. When you're worrying and you're stressing and you're fearing, you say, I want the Word of God to illuminate my path. And what you mean is I want a 5 million lumen light to show me beginning to the end before I'm willing to take a step. You want the kind of light that can land a plane. But God says, no, I'm going to give you my Word. Remember in Psalms, it says, your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's a lamp. It's a candle. That's what they had. They said, in other words, take the lamp that you have, that light, and it will illuminate the next step. And you'll go, I can't see everything else. No, but you can see the next step. And when you take the next step, it illuminates the next step. See, that's the way the Word of God works. Well, why can't God just tell me everything? I don't know. I've been asking him that for years. My theories are this, that I'll screw it up if he shows me the whole plan. My theories are, if God showed me the whole plan, I would criticize his plan and show him that I got a better one, a faster one. See, God says, I'm just going to illuminate the next step. What's our job then? To obey. It's just simply to obey. I haven't ridden for a while, but I'm going to get back to it now that I'm done with my degree. But I want to get back riding with the officers doing a chaplain. I'm a chaplain for the sheriff's office. And one of the things they did when I first came on is they said, here's what we're going to do. In order to identify you as one of us, not a cop. I'm not a wannabe cop. I'm the first to say that. I'm not Barney Fife, okay? But they said, we want to identify you. So we're going to give you a shirt that says sheriff or whatever, sheriff's office. We're going to give you a badge so that way they know we endorse you. You know, that's why they were saying it. We're going to give you a radio so if you ever run screaming for help, you can somehow get a hold of us or we can holler at you. And we want to give you a can of mace. And I was like, yes, get a can of mace. That's right, Jack. Somebody's going to pay. You know, and I was all, that was inside. I didn't do that in front of the sheriff, but that was all going on inside, all right? And I'm like, that's right, I'm bad. You know, I'm thinking, oh, and then he goes, so that means you're going to have to get trained in mace. And I'm like, hey, no problem. You know, put some bullseyes up and I'll, whoosh. Do you want to? He said, no, you don't understand. He said, we're going to mace you in the face. And I said, what? Yeah. I did the same thing. Here's what I didn't tell first service. I walked away from that. They said, we're going to mace you in the face because when you get trained, is there anybody here that's ever, maybe I shouldn't ask, forget it. They said, we're going to mace you in the face because part of the training is you need to know what the person is going to go through that you're going to mace if you're ever in that situation. I said, can't you just like let me read a book or watch a video? Or they're like, no, you need to experience. Okay. So I struggled with it and I said, God, I don't understand this. They're here to serve and protect, and I'm here, the love of Jesus, just going to hop in their car, and they want to mace me in the face. Can you believe this? He didn't say nothing. And I said, Lord, you show me one verse in the Bible that shows me that I should subject myself to this, and I'll shut my mouth and go get maced in the face. Nothing. I thought, man, I got him. I got God on the ropes. He didn't give me a verse. He can't think of one. I can't think. I ain't looking either, but. And then all of a sudden, Pastor John, 30 minutes before I was to go down there, I told him, I said, yeah, I got to get maced in the face. I told God, if you can just show me one verse, and without missing a beat, he says, oh, I've become all things to all men that I might win a few. And I went, dang it. Now I got to go down there with a smile on my face and let them mace me. And so here's what they did. They trained me. They took me up behind the police department like they were going to beat me up or something. And there's a guy waiting, and God bless his heart. He goes, you ready to get maced? And I said, yeah. He goes, are you a reserve or a new hire? And I said, no, I'm a chaplain. And he went, do I really have to mace a chaplain? And I said, no, you do not. But then he proceeded to with quite some joy in his heart, I think. But no, he hit me and he says, do you want stream, cone, or foam? I think it was. And I said, it's like a buffet for mace or something, you know. I think I'll take the, and I chose foam. What would you have chosen? You know, I chose foam because foam's fluffy, right? It's soft. It brings warm feelings. You know, stream, that means it's going to gouge your eye out. You know, cone spray is going to cover more territory. So foam sounds like the right choice, but it was the wrong choice. What they didn't tell me is that foam sticks on your face longer, and so he hits me with it, and then he says, "Oh, keep your eye closed." He did give me a heads up and let me close my eyes real quick. He hits me again. He goes, "You got a big glob on your eyes, so keep your eyes closed." No problem. I'm keeping my eyes closed. And he goes, "Does it feel like it's burning?" And I said, "Uh-huh." I lied, because I figured if I said it didn't burn, he'd hit me with it again. But you'll find out when you lie, you pay. So he goes, "Okay, you can spray the mace off your face." So I took the hose, and there was a bucket of water. And I took the hose, and I turned it up to my face. This was not wise, because that foam that was on my face, I now shot it right up my nose. This is what I get for lying. I'm telling you, you always pay. You're going to lie to the guy, you're going to pay. And all of a sudden, snot came out of everything. I mean, my eyes were watering, goobers everywhere. There was a high-pitched noise, and then I realized it was me. I was screaming, and my friend Stacy Bussey was there to videotape the whole thing. So I'm still trying to figure out where he's hiding it in his house so I can get rid of it. We call it the macing of CSI Machen. So hopefully that thing does not get out. So I'll have to find him sometime here and get that back. What's my point in telling the whole story? Oh, yeah, this is a nice mace story. When officers are using a chemical to, like mace, what they're attempting to do is take away your vision. They are attempting to disorient you so that you can't stay focused long enough in order to fight back when they're trying to bring justice. That's their job. That's what they do. It's a tool that they use, and they should. But I want to tell you, the enemy does the same thing. God's word illuminates your path, but the enemy will come to mace you in the face. He will try to bring destruction. He'll bring by temptations. He'll tell you, you can't do it. You're not strong enough. Even though the word of God says you're stronger than anything else when you've got Jesus in your heart. Well, I know that because the pastor said it, but do you know it because you hid his word in your heart? See, that's, you can expect from the word of God that it will illuminate your path. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and mace you in the face. But God came to give you life and to give it more abundantly. He'll give you renewed life. He'll reveal truth. And his word will illuminate your path. Have you ever been in a dark room that's like dark, dark, dark? You know, there's dark rooms. Like if we shut the lights all off here, it would be dark. But I mean, we've got windows that are letting some light come through. We could identify people in the room. But then there's dark, dark. I can't see my hand in front of my face. It's so dark. It's almost like I can feel the darkness. See, it's that kind of a darkness that God says, even in that darkness, even in that kind of a heaviness, or even spiritual darkness, God says, I'll illuminate that for you if you'll trust me. He says, hide my word in your heart that you might not sin against me, and his word will become a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. You know, many times we think we've got it all figured out. We think we know how this should go, but then all of a sudden we take off and we go in left field. We do our own thing. We say yes and amen to his word, but then we go do what we want to do. Here's the great thing about the grace of God, though. Because are you here today and you've ever gone off in left field and done your own thing? Have you ever disobeyed the Lord? I ask only because I know we can all say yes. We're all in the same boat, but here's the great thing that God has for you. He's given to you, or he's waiting to give to you, is when you thought you had it all figured out and you decided to go off into left field, when you come back, he doesn't do what I would probably do and say, told you so. Told you shouldn't do that. Should have listened to me. No, God doesn't do that. He says, welcome back. He says, welcome back. So if you've been walking away from the Lord, or if the Lord's been speaking to you and you're walking away, I mean, you're a Christian, you're doing just fine, but God has told you to get involved somewhere doing something. Maybe he's told you that you'll be the greatest Sunday school teacher this church has ever seen. But you've been too busy saying, no, I don't have time for that. I don't think I'm that good. I don't think kids will like me, or I don't think I like kids that much. Now, if you really don't like kids, maybe that's not a good fit. But don't start off by telling God why you can't do what he's told you to do. Instead, let him illuminate your path. Maybe you're here and you'd be the greatest sound person we've ever seen, video person that, We're on TV here. People have to do that. They have to do the work. Maybe you're the one that's going to be the greatest at it, but if you don't let them illuminate that in your heart and in your life, maybe it's your walk with Christ or it's your relationship with your spouse. You want something deeper. Let them illuminate that path for you. But you have to trust them because this world is a dark place. Do we agree on that? You know, I told you a few weeks ago that we go over to a campground, and on the campground, there's a lot of trails. And on the trails, I like to tell stories. Do you remember me telling you this? If you weren't here, I love my kids, I love my family, but I love to have fun with them too. I love to mess with them. You know, it's a spiritual gift that I have. And so we'll go, not really, that was a joke. But we'll go on these trails, and when they were little, I'd say there's a story behind each trail, and I'll tell you when we go walk on them at 11 o'clock at night. And if you ever get scared, say the word, we go home. Okay. And we went on one trail called the Scotty Plum Trail. Now, the short version of the story is simply I told them, I said, now this trail is called Scotty Plum Trail because when you go down this trail, it's named after a convict that escaped about 25 years ago. And they're like, escape convict? You know, I had him right there. And I said, up around the bend on this trail, there's a prison. And Scotty Plum broke out. About 25, 30 guards went in after him, but only about 10 or 15 came out. They never found him. They never found Scotty. To this day, they say he still roams the trail. And so, you know, it's dark. And when you hear that story at 11 o'clock at night, every little twig that snaps, you know Scotty Plum's out there, right? And so we're walking along. Now, I know this. I'm making this story up. I'm the author of this bogus story. But we had our friends, Reed and Missy Mitchell, with us. And Reed thought he'd be a character. He's walking behind us. And I'm telling the story. Yeah, to this day, they haven't found Scotty Plum. So when you see the red lights glowing in the air, that means another prisoner has escaped. And I knew around the corner was a wind turbine that had a red light flashing. So when they'd walk the corner, they'd be like, Dad, you know, do one of those. So I'm setting this whole story up, and Reed takes a stick and throws it way off to the right, and it makes a noise over there. I think I wet my pants when I heard that. I told the story so good that I convinced myself this story was real, and I was like, Scotty Plum's out. Wait, no, I made that up. You see, in the darkness, things of the imagination seem to come to life, don't they? Come on, tell the truth. You all had a boogeyman around a corner, or you had something under your bed, or you were laying down at night, and you had your arm hanging over the bed, and you had this weird thought, and you went, and you snatched your hand back up, right? Yeah, I thought so. We've all been there. Our mind messes with us, but His Word illuminates even those dark places where we start to get kind of goofy, whether it be the silly, I think something's under my bed, to the fact that there is an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. God's Word illuminates your path, because in the darkness, there's always a boogeyman that's going to get you. And in the darkness, you can't even trust your own mind, your own will, and your own emotions. So what can you trust? You can trust in the Word of God. Your Word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. Number four, write this down. What I can expect from the Word of God. You can expect that it will release authority. It will release authority. When you have a renewed life, God has renewed your life. When He reveals truth to you and then He illuminates the path for you, then He will release His authority. It's exactly what He did to Paul. If you're here today and you think you're the worst of the worst, God could never use you, then Paul's a good man to go read about because he was one of the worst of the worst. He was after Christians, hunting them down so he could kill them. He used to murder them. It was his mission, his life's mission, to destroy Christians. And who got a hold of him? But Jesus Christ, and changed it all. If he can do that for Paul, he can do that for you. He can do it for me. We can all say, I was one of the worst of the worst. And the reason we can say that is because sometimes we are our own worst enemy. We know what we did. We know the mistakes we made. We know the sins we've committed. Therefore, God can't use me, but yes, he can. His Word will reveal that to you. And then he will give you an authority. He did it for Paul. Paul had an illuminating moment on the road to Damascus. To make a long story short, God took Paul's heart of stone, his heart of hatred, and he turned it around to be a heart of compassion. And he called Paul to share the Word of God. He wanted not only to reveal his Word to Paul, but then he wanted Paul to go and share what God revealed to him and how God wants to reveal the same to not only them, but to you and me today. He wants there to be a revelation that takes place. You know, one of the things you can expect from the Word of God when you have your life renewed, you've received truth, he's lit your path, then he will release authority into your life. In other words, if God has told you to do something, he will give you what you need to do. He will give you what you need to do it, to complete it, to accomplish it. Let me ask it this way. What's the last thing God has told you to do? Think about that for a minute. What's the last thing God has told you to do? And then there's a follow-up, of course. Have you done it? Because if you've not, he's still waiting on you. He's not waiting with the 2x4 to say, it's about time. He's just saying, I'm just waiting. This is what I've told you to do. And he's not going to take that next step until we're willing to do the first thing he's called us to do. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, God's not told me to do anything. I have a hard time hearing God. Then I would simply ask you to do this. You won't get what you want from God until you start with asking God for it, right? So ask him. Lord, I don't get this. I don't completely understand it, but will you reveal to me what you want to do? Will you release, show me what it means? What plan do you have for me? Or what's the next step you want me to take? Because he can do that. Do you believe he can do that? Okay, so then if you want that, all you have to do is you have to ask for it. Matthew 28, because you may be here today saying, I don't think God released any authority into my life. Matthew 28, verse 18 is where he gives the Great Commission, and he said that God has authorized us. He said, go, therefore, and make disciples. In other words, he said, go with my authority. I have given you the authority to go and do the work that I've called you to do. We've all been given that. When we have surrendered our lives to Christ and we believe in his word, then we're authorized to do that which God has called us to do. Maybe the question is, what has God called you to do? Maybe it's to start a business. Maybe it's been to forgive your husband or your wife. Maybe it's been to rebuild a relationship with a family member. Maybe it's been to pray for a neighbor. Maybe it's been to make your pastor pot roast. I don't know. Just saying. If God called you to do it, then he just wants to know, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Because if he's called you to do it, he's already given you what you need to accomplish it. You know what God's more concerned about? Because sometimes we get all spiritual and we say, well, I got to come up with something good. If I'm going to hear God, I got to hear something very spiritual and very good. You know what God's more concerned about more than he is spiritual or religiosity? You know what he's more concerned about? Here it is. He's concerned about what is practical and intentional. Practical and intentional. What does that mean? It means you don't have to pray all day long about how you can bless your neighbor. Why don't you get up off your knees, go in the kitchen, bake some cookies, and go hand them to your neighbor? That's practical, that's intentional, and it's about loving your neighbor. One of the greatest commandments in the Bible is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and the second is likened to it. Remember the rest? Love your neighbor as yourself. Look around you. This is our neighbors. Learning to love one another can be one of the most challenging things, but not when God has released authority into your life. And he does that so that we can make a dent, a difference in the kingdom of God. Now, there's a difference between, understand this, there's a difference between authority that is taken and authority that is given. Okay? Authority that is taken and authority that is given. Matthew 28, Jesus gave authority. But taking authority, now, you know, the Bible also says that, you know, take authority about the spiritual and heavenly places and capturing your thoughts and all that. But what I'm talking about here is to be given that authority that God gives means you've been entrusted to function on God's behalf, and you've been given the opportunity to steward the authority that God has given to you. What you can expect from the Word of God is that God will release his authority in your life. If he's called you to do something, he's given you the power to do it. So because it's been given, you've got all you need. You got all you need. There's a difference between giving and taking. And the only reason I brought that up is because there's people that need to understand. We all need to understand this. God has given us the authority to do what he's called us to do versus some people out there who are tired of waiting on God, so they go ahead and just take it. You know what I'm talking about? You say, I'm going to go ahead and this is going to be my ministry, or I'm going to make this happen because I'm tired of waiting on the Lord. There's a difference. When God gives you through his word and reveals and releases that authority, you will be blessed beyond belief. But if you're just busy taking because you're tired of waiting, you're going to find that it will backfire on you. You must wait upon the Lord, and you'll find that he'll release that authority. Here's number 5. Write this down. What you can expect from the word of God. that it will restore my soul. That it will restore my soul. He restores my soul. Psalms 23, we're all familiar with that, pretty familiar with that. And in the 23rd Psalm, it says that he restores my soul. He takes that which is broken and fixes it. He gives us something brand new. Maybe today you need some kind of a restoration. Maybe you need your heart restored because it's been broken by a husband or a wife or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, a boss, a friend. God can restore that heart. Maybe you're in pain today because of some unwise choices. God can restore that. Maybe you've made some unwise choices and you just don't know how you got where you're at. God can restore that. His word can restore your soul, it says. So your soul is made up of, do you remember the three? Mind, will, and emotions. That means the way that you're thinking, I don't know why I think this way, I don't understand. He can restore that and give you the mind of Christ. My will, you know, maybe you struggle because you just always want it your way or you're afraid to step out. God can come and restore that. Maybe it's your emotions. Sometimes they get out of hand or you just don't know how to navigate through that. God can restore that, it says. His word can restore our soul. Think about this. How many, do we have any car lovers, old cars? You like cars? Okay. You go back and look at some of those old cars and they had some real beauties. The Model T. Has anyone ever seen a Model T car? Okay. Not on the internet, in like real life. Okay. All right. Yeah, because internet doesn't count. You can see anything on the internet, and that's unfortunate. Chevy Corvair. It's a cool car, isn't it? Yeah, I like Chevy Corvairs. 57 Chevy, I'm going back there. How many, yeah? Anyone ever own a 57 Chevy? Okay. All right. Here's my favorite, because I had one of them, a 1969 Plymouth Barracuda. How many of you ever seen the Barracuda? Huh? Has anyone ever had a Barracuda? Anyone else? There you go. One. You see, these cars, we look back and we go, oh, man, those were the days. Do you remember that? Yeah, those were the days of no air conditioning, AM radio only, crank windows. One of the greatest things was watching my daughter get her first car. It was an Oldsmobile Firenza. It used to be Julia Stevenson's old car, if you remember who she is. I mean, everything, she got in the car and she's like, where's the button to put the window down? I'm like, honey, see that crank right there? She's like, oh my gosh, you mean I got to dial my window down? Yeah, you do, baby. It's a workout. And she's just, you know, the radio, what's this red bar in the middle of it? You know, I'm like, that's the radio tuner. I mean, it's not digital, you know. It was just fun watching all of these new things. But she was in an older car. Now, those of you that really enjoy old cars may enjoy them because you know that you can take these old cars. Sometimes when you see them, they got rust on the bumpers, right? They got a taillight that's hanging out. They got one wiper that's missing. You know, maybe there's a broken window. But you know, because you work with cars, let's say, that you could take that car and you could restore it. What does that mean? Well, you know exactly what it means when you're restoring a car. It means you knock the rust off the bumper, you fix the taillight, you buy some new wipers, and you replace the window, and you bring it back to a condition where you go, man, it's almost like it was, and it beautifies it, and it actually adds value when you restore the car. This is exactly what the Word of God does for you and for me when we feel like our taillights are hanging out, and we're missing a wiper, and our windows are broken, and everything's just a mess because we got rust all over the bumpers. God comes and says, I'll restore your soul. And where you're hurting, I'll bring healing. Where you feel like you're saying, I just wish I had some joy. He says, I can do that too. I'm in the restoration process. But we must get into the Word of God. Well, can't we just wish for it and hope for it? Sure, go ahead. I tried it, but it didn't work. I had to get into the Word of God. It had to become personal between God and myself. When you get into the Word of God, you'll find out that He will restore your soul. Number six, write this down. The Word of God will revive my spirit. It will revive my spirit. See, it's easy to become beaten down in this world. We live in a difficult world. Have you found that out? Not everything goes the way you want. Not everybody thinks like you think. I mean, if they just think like I thought, everybody would be fine, right? If everyone thought like I thought, that would be the scariest planet in the world. Who amen that? And everyone points. Think about it. If everyone thought the way that you thought, that would be a rather crazy, crazy thing. But this world that we live in is a sin world. It's a dark world, and it beats us down. You know what the Word of God does? It revives you. But in order to revive you, you've got to have some vibe in you. You know what I mean? I know that's not a sentence, but I'm saying it anyway. In other words, you can't say, Holy Spirit, come and stir once again something fresh and new inside my heart when I never have had something fresh and new inside my heart. It starts, I hope and I pray that if you're here today and you've not given your heart to Jesus, that today you'll make that your day. Because you'll find that when you walk with Him and you get near Him, He fills your heart. He brings healing to your soul. But you still experience those difficult times, those ups and those downs. But when you go through them, you don't go through them alone any longer. Why? Because He revives my spirit. And He'll do the same for you. Are you here today and you need Him to revive your spirit? Get closer to Him. Spend time in His Word. Many of us today are spiritually dying. And there's a reviving that God says, I want to bring into your life. But He's not going to make you do it. He's going to invite you, but He's not going to make you. Psalms 119:50 says, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. Your word has revived me. It's in these times that we can find that when we face affliction, His word will revive us. Number 7, write this down. And the last one, what can I expect from the word of God? You can expect that He never changes. You can expect His word and He Himself will never change. Up on the wall, we pointed out a lot. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So when something goes south in your life, and if God never changes, the question is, who did? Or what happened? Most of the time I find that when something doesn't go right, I look at God and I go, Jack, what are you up to? I mean, come on, everything was working out perfect. And He goes, everything still is. He goes, I'm not the one that changed. You did. Well, what do you mean? And then you have to have an ear to hear the Lord. What He has to say for you. You say, well, how do you have an ear to hear the Lord? It means when you spend time in His Word, all of a sudden, here's part of the challenge. When I read my Bible, I don't read it and I expect it to just kind of somehow through osmosis, just kind of come off the page into my face or something or into my heart. But when I read His Word, have you ever read a verse and all of a sudden as you're reading it, it's kind of like, oh, that really, it's like it was illuminated to you. Or you're like, oh, I hadn't seen that before. Or I hadn't thought of it that way. That's usually the Holy Spirit highlighting something to you. And you spend some time there. That's how you start to hear the Lord. You see, we change our minds all the time, but Jesus Christ never changes. Think about it. This morning when you got up and you got dressed, some of you, not all of you, but some of you probably put one outfit on and said, nah, don't like it, put another outfit on. You changed your mind. You're going to leave here today and you're going to say, I want me some B-dubs today. But by the time you get to the car and you get out to the front, you may say, I'm changing my mind, I want Pizza Ranch. You can change your mind at any time throughout the day. You can choose whether you're going to be in a good mood or whether you're going to be in a bad mood. You can choose whether you're going to give God the glory or you're going to let the enemy reign. But Jesus Christ never changes. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, true, the grass withers and the wildflower fades, but our God's word stands firm and forever. My prayer for us today as we close is simply this. I've just shared with you some reasons or some benefits of spending time in the Word of God. Now the challenge is out there for you and for me to take the next step and get into the Word of God. I know many of you today are reading your Bibles. I know that you're getting into the Word of God and you're doing some devotions. Keep on keeping on. I'm going to cheer you on. I'm going to be your cheerleader. If you're here today, though, and you're not, there is no condemnation for not doing it. There's just me encouraging you, saying, why not let today be the day? Why not let today be the day that you read, get into His Word, so He can revive you, so He can illuminate your path, so He can revive your spirit, so that you can come to a place where you realize, my God never changes. So when I draw close to Him, we can now set our course to His Word, which is the standard. And it's no longer the standard of ourself. Amen. Father, I thank You for Your word that never changes. I thank You that You sent Your Son for us. And I so thank You that You gave us Your Holy Spirit, because I don't know how I ever personally would have made it with not hearing from You on a daily, multiple times a day, hearing from your Holy Spirit. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent us your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray today that in this short just challenge of a message, that we would surrender our hearts to you, to draw closer to you so that you can reveal yourself to us. I simply want to ask this, are you here today? And in order for you to be revived, you've got to have made that decision to ask Jesus into your heart. Are you here today and you've not done that? Or maybe you've done it, but you've walked away from it. You know the Lord's been tugging on your heart and that's you. Then would you just respond to him? If you're here today and you need to make that right, would you just slip your hand up that I might agree in prayer with you?